Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special podcast edition today with me, Gail from Sober Bliss. I'm recording this podcast and I'm super, super excited because finally my book is available for you to buy. Yes, it is. It's available right now, and I will put the link, of course I will, in the show notes. Now, I originally wanted to make this podcast and tell you all about the book, just how wonderful and amazing it is and how much it's going to help you. And I will, of course, share all of that information. But I thought it would be really nice instead if I read a little bit of the book for you today. So I'm going to read the first few pages just so you get an idea of what it's about, and then hopefully you'll want to buy it so you can read the rest for yourself. And I really hope you do. It's such an inspiring, supportive, wonderful book. So are you ready? If you're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. Sober Bliss, Quit Drinking, Feel Good by Gail MacDonald. How did I get here? How does one become a butterfly? She asked pensively. You must want to fly so much that you are willing to give up being a caterpillar. Trina Paulus. Lying there, curled up on the hard, cold tiles of the bathroom floor, I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I was freezing and shivering. My head was pounding and my heart hammering. I was trying to feel something, anything, except the all-consuming feelings of shame, guilt, and a deep, aching dread in the pit of my stomach that just wouldn't leave. It was late on a Friday evening and everyone was finally in bed after the worst events of my life. I had been drinking wine from a 5-litre box with the tap on. It seemed like a good idea at the time. It was Friday after all. But I cannot, could not, drink red wine without getting absolutely wasted. That night, I got so wasted that I caused an argument with my husband, decided I'd had enough and got in the car to leave. Turning the key in the ignition, I heard my youngest son, who was about 8, start to cry. I too started to cry. I was so blind drunk that I hadn't realized he had followed me into the car. Thankfully, oh, I'm so thankful, I turned off the engine, picked up my son, and shamefully knocked on the door to be let back in. The next thing I remember is lying cold, alone, and afraid on the bathroom floor, willing the evening's events away. I felt sick as thoughts of what could have happened flashed through my mind. They were too much to bear. They still are. That was what many will say was my rock bottom, except it didn't stop me from drinking. God knows it should have. Instead, I turned to the only thing that I knew would take away the pain, the thing that put me there in the first place, the thing that I had come to rely on, that got me through good times and the bad, through the boredom of homework and housework, cooking dinner, bath time and bedtime. The thing that helped me relax and have fun, made me a cool mum and gave me creative inspiration. The thing I loved and hated in equal measure. The thing that was taking me away from myself, yet I didn't know who I was without it. Alcohol. I downed another glass of wine to try and make it stop. It didn't work. My drinking was clearly out of control by that point, yet I had no idea how I got there. I was a beer drinker, the drink of choice here in Spain. Sometimes I was a wine drinker, but not very successfully. The occasional weekend G&T at 11 a.m. and one night a bottle of whiskey shared between my husband and me, the special one that my brother had bought as a birthday gift. It was hidden away in a box that I drunkenly rummaged around for because we'd run out of everything else. The hangover the next day was hideous. I have no real memory of when the car incident, or indeed the whiskey night, happened. The last 4 years of my drinking passed by in a blur. My kids had aged from 12 to 16 and 5 to 9 without me even noticing. And that's what hurts the most. I was there, but not really there at all. I knew my drinking was a problem, and had been for a while. I hated myself every day, but stayed stuck because I couldn't imagine anything else. The thought of being labelled an alcoholic filled me with shame. I worried what people would think of me if I stopped. They would know I had a problem. Even though I was terrified by the possibility I might die because of my drinking, the very idea of getting through an afternoon, or worse, an entire weekend without a beer, without being numbed or tipsy, scared me even more. Who does that? That right there was the problem. Even though I hated how I felt when I drank, and how much space in my head was taken up by thinking about drinking, my drinking seemed normal, tame even, compared to my friends and what was portrayed in the media. So what was I worried about? But deep down I was worried and scared. This fear, the deep feeling of dread and shame about my drinking, was always there, especially at 3 a.m. when I was alone in the dark. I knew I had to stop drinking, but I had no idea how. I even secretly wished for something bad to happen to me, forcing me to stop. That obviously didn't work, as I had gotten drunk into a car with my son, but still kept on drinking. The dangers of alcohol, the shame and guilt I felt about what I was doing to myself and to my family, actually kept me drinking instead of scaring me into stopping. Finally, though, I did stop. And just a few months after that decision, I knew I would never go back to that god-awful dark place, no matter what. That became my mantra. Those words kept me going, no matter what happened. I would not drink. No matter what. This book details the same process I used to navigate through early sobriety, in a way that, despite the struggle, the discomfort, and sometimes feeling absolutely lost and hopeless, still felt good, authentic, and true to me. I'd always thought that quitting alcohol was going to be hard, and that I would feel ashamed and afraid all of the time. The reality was night and day different, and I'd had no idea. While there were, of course, really hard days, my new normal was the most mind-blowing thing in the world. I felt inspired. There were no scary thoughts of relapse or words like recovery, addiction, or alcoholism to make me feel small or like a victim. I stopped counting the days pretty early on, and there was no reliving the awful parts of my drinking to keep me in my place. I'd long felt uncomfortable with the idea of handing over my power and admitting that I was an alcoholic. It felt like a very miserable way forward, to be honest. In fact, it was those beliefs about quitting drinking and what I thought being sober meant that kept me stuck for far longer than was necessary. I wondered instead what it might be like to find my own power. How could I do this thing that I so desperately wanted to do, but until then had been too scared to try? And so it was that my journey towards finding my own power began with 2 months on the sofa drinking tea. While that doesn't sound very empowering, it was those 2 terribly boring months that helped me to see that actually I could do this. When it came down to it, I did a very, very simple thing, and that was to choose myself. I made a choice, a decision, and didn't look back. I found ways to let go of shame and guilt. I learned to enjoy stillness and found joy in the simplicity of the everyday. I leaned into ritual, found connection in nature, embraced hope and inspiration, discovered excitement for the future, and slowly returned to myself. Has it been easy? Absolutely not. And as one of my current clients put it the other day, every sober day is not sunshine and roses, but at least it's better than a drinking day. And I agree. I have dealt with some pretty bad days since I stopped drinking. As a family, we have been just hours away from repossession twice. I had to learn how to feed my family of 4 with 20 euros a week and whatever was available at the food bank. And in early 2022, my husband suffered a stroke, which was the scariest thing any of us had experienced. I thought I was going to lose him, and he thought he wasn't going to make it. He had to learn how to walk again, and I had to completely overhaul everything about our lifestyle. But most recently, most brutally, and just shy of 2 weeks before my husband and I reached the incredible milestone of 5 years alcohol-free, our family of 4 became a family of 3. Our beautiful boy, our eldest son of 21, died by suicide, breaking our hearts into 1,000 pieces and ensuring that life would never, ever be the same again. But even then, I did not want to drink. Alcohol as a coping mechanism did not enter my head, and through the pain, the terrible feelings and utter despair, there was a spark of something deep inside that still felt good. Yes, even in the darkest days, when the unimaginable pain is right there in everything you do, I did not drink. No matter what, I did not drink, and that feels good. Sobriety has been my strength. And that is what I want for you. I want you to feel good about your decision. I want you to feel empowered by your choice. I want you to feel strong and in control, calm and at peace. I want you to love and trust yourself so completely that you will never, ever let anything, or anyone for that matter, come between you and your one wild and precious life, as poet Mary Oliver so beautifully wrote. I remember one of the very first messages I received from one of my clients. "Gail, a special thank you. You are amazing. You were my angel when I needed you the most. Much gratitude for having you in my life. It's messages like these that inspired me to write this book, which is everything I have learned and taught since that day back in 2018. This book is not designed to show you the perils of alcohol or highlight the damage it does to our bodies, hearts, and minds. If you've ever had a hangover or experienced the 3 a.m. terrors, you already know this. This book is not going to scare you into abstinence by making you relive each and every shameful or painful moment caused by your drinking. I have a feeling you are already doing that, because I did it to myself more times than I can remember, and it didn't make a difference. I won't throw a lot of facts, figures, or statistics at you to highlight just how bad the alcohol problem is in our modern society. You will figure that out if you don't already realise. I also am not going to tell you about how addiction works or the difference between being an alcoholic or alcohol dependent. What really matters is how alcohol is making you feel and how you want to feel instead. If you want details, a quick Google search will bring you statistics galore to bring the facts to the front of your mind. But I reiterate, this is about how you feel, not about definitions and how you categorize yourself. I will say, and this is very important, that whatever your current situation is, it's not your fault. Alcohol is dangerous, toxic, and seductive. Not just the substance itself, but the packaging, the marketing, and the fact that it is so revered and intertwined in everything we do. It's no wonder you are here, feeling the way you do, and that's okay. You can break free. You can get back to your glorious, beautiful, wonderful self, and this book will help you. It will be okay. You will be okay. In fact, more than okay. Maybe it's society, upbringing, culture, beliefs, ambition, expectation, fear, or guilt, or all of them thrown together in a swirling, bubbling soup of mixed up emotions and beliefs. It makes us put ourselves down, beat ourselves up, and look for the quick and easy fix to hide from our true selves, to numb out, and to put on a brave face. What we really need to be doing is to listen to ourselves and tune in to what really makes us happy and focus on that. This book is here to help you find your own sober bliss, which is a life of choice, joy, freedom, happiness, and doing more of what you love.